Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's the word power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye into all the world, or go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you. I want you to picture that. I'm with you always. It says, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So it says, lo, I'm with you always. And I want to focus on that. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not, he says, shall be damned. And these signs, the moment you see signs there, it brings in a supernatural element to what's being done. This sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. He says, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick now shall recover. Verse 19, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up to heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached. Notice this conversation again everywhere. The Lord walking with, right, and confirming the word with signs following. The Lord walking with. Now, yet again, when we read the words of Jesus, I was told you that the words of Jesus, in grammatical sense now, are not original to that time. They're words from the Old Testament books of Scripture, which we call the Hebrew Bible. In other words, they are found within the books of Genesis through to Malachi. That's where you're going to find these words. So every time Jesus is teaching. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 25 to 27. 27 says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, that's Genesis, then all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now pay attention to verse 44. So let's quickly say something. In 27, the word expounded, and which we said means to interpret on different layers. One, the language, the world, the context. And so on Sunday, and I guess this morning also, I emphasized the importance of knowing different modes of reading scripture. He said, firstly, read a text in its world. Find out the meaning of a text in its world. Two, read a text in context. And we said, number three, read a text systematically, systematic theology. Fourthly, read the entire Bible. Okay, so it's vital to establish a truth. So I told you on Sunday and previous weeks that the statement the Bible says is not quoting a verse. It's actually the entire Bible. And so you must make sure that whatever you say is in tandem. You know, I'll share with a friend today and another friend also. We said many people who love the grace content of Scripture, they love to hear about the grace content. Sorry, that is content. That's too strong. Content and salvation by faith in Christ, and the fact that it's not by works of righteousness that we are saved, Titus 3 and 5. By the time you start reading the Old Testament and mentioning characters of the Old Testament, get uncomfortable with names like Achan, you know, Ahithophel. You don't like Korah. They say, why? You know, they're not New Testament believers, I know. But are they the flesh? Yeah. Are you told not to walk in the flesh? Yeah. So that's the flesh. So when the Bible says the flesh, those are the flesh. Allow my grammar, right? Or those is the flesh. That's a better word. So you gotta get comfortable. Those characters will find their way in your conduct if you don't walk in the Spirit. Is that very clear? Very good. So that's important to note that. So the Old Testament therefore becomes, as we call it now, it becomes the story of the words of the New Testament as we refer to it. So, you know, and so when Jesus is reading there, it says, he expounded unto them, there are many in the Greek. Then in 44, then 44 says, these are the words, logos, which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at the same emphasis. Law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then 45, then he opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. I want you to pay attention to the second word, understand. Suinemi. S-U-N-N-I-E-M-I. Two words. S-U-N means together. Then Nohema, N-O-E-M-A, which means to reason. Which means that Jesus taught them to reason through the scriptures. So every time he's teaching, they are reasoning through the scriptures. Everything he's saying, they are reasoning through the scriptures. Now pay attention to something he says. The Lord walking with and confirming the Logos, Mark 16:20. He is confirming the Logos, the Logos. Now, again, Luke 24:44, these are the Logos, which I said to you while I was yet with you, Logos. Then put that in the same mix with Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always. The Lord walking with and confirming the Logos. Now, John, interestingly, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 1, identifies God as that Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. The Logos was with God, and God the Logos. If you took any of the books we did last year, This Is Our God, whether the volume 1, His Wrath, or you look at one of the stanza or the readers, we delve into the meaning of Logos, which has to be an Old Testament word. And so, the concept of Logos, and I want you to pay very good attention to this. The concept of Logos in the epistles, or the four gospels, is taken from an old word, Dabar. D-A-B-A-R, even though there's a slant in the Hebrew, D-A-V-A-R, Dabar. Now, when I say word today, in today's language, he gave me his word. That means he said something. If I say, well, I gave him my word. Same thing, right? When we say the word of God, many of us are quick to think about words. Remember, someone said this one time, and I kind of found it interesting. He said, when God says, light be, that statement was Jesus. You know why he said that? Because of John 1:1. The word. Now, of course, by the time that John is writing at the time where the Greek language had developed, where you now had Logos. Logos is where you have the biology study of biology. And you and I know that when we say biology, we're not just talking about words, we're talking about persons, right? Right? Okay, good. So, when persons, events, and experiences. So, when you have Logos, don't forget where we're coming from. Mark 16:20, the Lord confirming the Logos. Walking with, and I told you the word walking with, synergio, is something bound together. They are doing the same thing. The Lord walking with, synergio, and confirming. Walking with, the word them is italicized, so which means walking with the Logos. Our mind should go to the Old Testament, where you'll find that phrase, Dabar. Dabar is not just a statement. For example, look at Genesis chapter 15. Now we have another word, which is the word call, the voice of the Lord God. Genesis 3:8, walking in the garden, the voice, which is a sound or a message. But in Abraham, Genesis 15, verse 1. Look at it. Pay attention. I told you that when you say word, that's how we see it. But it says, the word of the Lord, notice this, came to Abraham in a vision. So when you say the word of the Lord, which is the word Dabar, Dabar is not just a speech, it's a thing or a person. So here, the word is seen. The word of the Lord came, and the word of the Lord is in a vision, which means the word is seen. So the word of the Lord in the Old Testament is an encounter with God. It deals with the hearing, the seeing, and the speaking. The word of the Lord came. Look at verse 4. Genesis 15, 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying. The word of the Lord, the Dabar of the Lord came. So, when you come to the synoptic, it says, the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. Is it making sense? Huh? Okay. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, the word of God is a living being. A living being. So the word of the Lord, first we see in Genesis 3:8, that says that the voice of the Lord was walking, a living being. So the Dabba refers to both a speech and also the speaker. For example, I can call you on the phone and you say, I heard him. That means I was somewhere else. And then if I'm somewhere, for example, and they say, and I make a phone call and I call you and say, and somebody begins to ask you, except things have changed now though, what was he wearing? I can say, we didn't have a video call. Which means it was a phone call. You just heard the voice. So, which means that when we say the Dabba, it means the person speaking was present. The person speaking was present. So the presence and the words. The person speaking was present. Told you in the morning when we were studying that there is a concept of God that developed over time. I mentioned it to you by philosophy about God being absent from the earth, too holy to move with the things of the earth. And so it became part of people's theology, unconsciously. And that's why we have to be very careful. I'm probably going to explore that tomorrow again in the morning. That we must look at what we are facing as a challenge today. Every age has what they battle. Now we have to battle technology. Because technology becomes useful, just like education became useful for Paul. Paul obviously was a good writer and philosopher of his days, no doubt. He was able to explore knowledge in his days, but that was the danger. Again, in why he wrote Colossae and warned them of this kind of knowledge that doesn't glorify Christ and his redemptive sacrifice. So we are in a world where people have transformed church, for example, into a non-community activity or prayer. At some point, even salvation. Salvation is now not necessarily believing in Jesus Christ, but doing good things. Just adjusting to the system and the spirit of this age. So at some point, people's theology started to adjust to what the Epicureans said at those times, just like we mentioned the Stoics equally, and Plato, where they thought that God is far away, and that's what Paul addressed in Acts 17. It is with, not far from every one of us. Two things he says there. He's not in the things he created that destroys the Stoics. He's not in the things that is not far from what he has created, the Epicureans. Then he also says, and very critical, that he's through the resurrection of Jesus has given us an assurance. Develops a concept again to defeat the theologies of the day, or let's say philosophies like Plato. So the word of the Lord here shows us, rather than God speaking from afar, is actually an ever-present God. Logos, which is the word Dabar, physically present, talking. So if I'm here, they're going to say, I heard him. No, it's going to be more than that. If it's on a phone call, you say, he spoke to me. But if I'm here, you say, we were together and we had this conversation. And then he said this and I said that. That's what you're going to say. We're together and he even came into my room, saw how things were, and that's, you heard me speak, you heard me do something, you saw me. In other words, so when we have the Dabar, which is the word of the Lord, it's not just a voice. It's also a person. In other words, there was a personal encounter with God. Let me see if you understand that. Is it making sense? The word of the Lord came. And we have a couple of other texts that we'll probably just look at very quickly on that concept of the word of the Lord. Look at Jonah. Or 1 Samuel 15, first of all. 1 Samuel 15. And verse 10. The word of the Lord came unto Samuel. The word of the Lord came unto Samuel. I did skip something. Then, I'm coming here later, but 1 Samuel 3 verse 1. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? There was no open vision. The word of the Lord is called a vision, which is seeing, knowing, and hearing. So the word of the Lord is seeing. Second Samuel chapter 7 and verse 4. And the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying. So is the word of the Lord a speech or a person? Huh? A person. So which means that the Old Testament writers identified God as the Word. Then let's see Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, even though we can check Isaiah 2, but Jeremiah chapter 1. We can see Isaiah 2 verse 1, just the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning, the word he saw the word. That's Isaiah chapter 2 verse 1. But let's look at Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 9. Watch this. And the word of the Lord came unto me. Jeremiah speaking here. Let's see verse 2 first. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ha, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But Lord God said to me, say not. His Lord said to me, so I say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that which I send thee, and whichever I command thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, pay attention somewhere, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Can we take 9 slowly, everybody? Let's go. Then, okay, wait. I thought it was the word. See? Then the Lord did what? Put forth his hand and touched his mouth. Go on. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Can you see that? So the word of the Lord is an encounter. Which means that when we hear from God, right, it's beyond words. We have a personal encounter. Which means there are things to hear and things to also what? See. And things to experience. Ezekiel chapter 3. And verse 16. So the Dabar is a person. And you notice that I've seen some theology say God kept speaking. Then that word now became a person. That's not true. The word had always been what? A person. Is that clear? Aha. Uh-huh. So, Ezekiel 3:16. It came to pass that the word of the Lord came unto me saying. The word, that's a person, came saying. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying to him. Jonah 3:1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Rise, go to Nineveh." Zechariah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to him saying. So the concept of the word of the Lord is the person of God showing you that he has an active communication and relationship with the people he speaks to. The word of the Lord came to me saying. So John now says that word became what? Flesh. Is it clear? So the word did not become a person in Jesus. No, the word became flesh. The word became flesh. So which means a person need not be flesh. But a person becomes flesh. God is spirit, Jesus tells us, which is a person. So the word of the Lord is as much a person as a person sitting close to you. The word of the Lord came to me saying. Now watch this. In the Great Commission, look at it. I say, "Lo, I am with you always." Amen. To the end of the age. "I am with you always to the end of the age." Mark 16:20. The Lord walking with and confirming the message with signs following. So which means that we have the word of the Lord. Say, "I have the word of the Lord." So when I say you have the word of the Lord, am I referring to a speech or a living person? Okay, which has vital communication of sight, right, and hearing. Is that clear? Come on guys, is that clear? Very well. So that is what the word of the Lord is. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, John, in John 1:14, the word dwells, kenyo, or skeni, which has to do with a tabernacle. Tabernacles are temporary tents used by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Moses built it also because they were moving through the wilderness, but he gave them, certifications to build a temple when they get to the land. They didn't build the temple till they got to the land. They built a tabernacle. Tabernacle is the prelude of the temple. So in the incarnation, the word became a tabernacle with us. John 1:14, and we beheld his glory. That's why John says we beheld his glory. It was just like the word, and then you see the word. John is writing from the Old Testament. We beheld his glory. We beheld, I think the Greek word there is oraho. We saw it life, the glory of God. No man had seen God at any time. The word God. John 1:18. But it says became flesh and dwelt, tabernacled. That's the word. Remember that at the transfiguration, I thought that in the morning, Peter, James, and John said, Peter actually said, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Jesus didn't answer the question. He said, tell no man this vision until my resurrection. What are they doing with tabernacles? Before the resurrection, he now announced to them, I will dwell in you forever. I will dwell in you. We'll make our home oikos. So rather than use the word tabernacle, he uses oikia, which means we're going to live permanently with you. So where Jesus in the 4 gospels had a temporary location, the word of the Lord had a temporary location, it now says the word of the Lord now has what? A permanent house. Hallelujah. So we are now the temple. Okay, we are the temple of the living God. Paul uses that word. We are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Now hosts, in the Greek, And then he says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he calls us collectively a family, collectively a temple, and all of that. Ephesians 2, 19, 21, we grew up into an holy temple in the Lord. Peter also tells us we are built up a spiritual oikos. Oikos. Oikia. Spiritual house. 1 Peter 2, 5. Paul says it's a household of God. Ephesians 2, 19. It's a house of God. It's now a family. So the word of the Lord does not come. Is that clear? The word of the Lord has come to stay. Is that clear? Is that very clear? He has come to stay. The Dava, which tabernacled in the four Gospels, is now a living reality in everyone that has believed. Let me see if you understand that. So the word of the Lord, now notice that what we're saying here is that this is it. If we now know that Jesus is reading from the Torah and the prophets, which means that by saying, lo, I am with you, I, the word of the Lord, I am with you always, the Lord confirming the word. That is, when you say confirms, that means he confirms the word of the Lord to Samuel, to you. The word of the Lord to Abraham. So that confirmation shows that we can have the same experiences. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? The Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs. So the word of the Lord doesn't come and go, even though the experiences can come and go. The word of the Lord is now in us and with us. So therefore, we must go back and reread the Old Testament and see what this abiding word does. Before the word abode, people heard God clearly. Now I've seen people say this interestingly. They say, well, that was before the written word. And I tell them, that's crap. Isaiah had the written word. Jonah had the written word. Samuel had the written word, and with the written word, they also had encounters with God. The written word only affirms, confirms, authenticates, and authorizes what we see. And we'll see the difference in the epistles in a moment. So, which means that every believer is a candidate, I use that word loosely, for divine encounters. Taught this teaching some years back, 27 years ago. One of my favorite sermons there, I don't have any anymore, is called Divine Encounters, Supernatural Visitations. And I taught brethren then how to have encounters. A believer should know. Now I've seen some of us get a bit scared, and I understand, where we have the negative. The negative. So, what if I see a demon? Well, that's nice. What if I see this one? Well, that's cool too. But what if you see God? Why do you have to get negative? Someone said, let me do this. Well, I don't believe in all this teaching on, I don't believe in all this teaching on this subject. I think he said submission, loyalty. He said, what if? So he began to create stories for me. What if the pastor does this? I said, you can handle that part. I will teach the one that is in the Bible. You handle the ones you are creating in your head. You see, I said, this one there, okay, is in the Bible. He said, does he have to be in the Bible? I mean, these are things we can see. I said, you teach that part. You can remain negative. There's no subject, if you choose to be negative, you would be negative. I've seen someone, for example, speak in other tongues for a whole day. This was in Ibadan, 96. And then they had to take the guy to a psychiatric ward. Somebody said, see what tongues has caused. I said, no, it's not tongues. Tongues doesn't cause this. Said, then what is? No, he was not fine and spoke in tongues. I've spoken in tongues a whole day. I'm here. I've seen others speaking tongues the whole day. World Changers Conference. Even though you use masks. Sleep at some point, chew gum or chew cord. Some of you have had your own vigils and you spoke with tongues all day. And you are fine. So don't, how do you expect me to get on the pulpit and talk about that? You deal with that. You can deal with the negative things. You focus on that. Praise God. Someone just likes to talk about pastors and then negative about pastors. And I always tell you, whenever you see the media focus on pastors, they're coming for the faith. So I said, no. He's not attacking the faith. Who is writing? An unbeliever. A man that's yielding to the devil. He's writing intelligently. And you say, I get his point. The pastor is preaching. You start to discern. The unbeliever is writing. You open your heart. You are wise. So, you know, that means that we are candidates for vital experiences. Glory to God. See, I got the word of the Lord. Do you know you have the word of the Lord for Nigeria? Amen. You know what I mean? Right? Things to see, right? The things to hear. Glory to God. I told a guy something last week. I said, what I see about Nigeria is very different. He said, what? I said, we will have in this country the largest turnout of missionaries of the gospel to the world ever. He said, I like your faith. I said, I don't like your doubt. That's it. Praise God. We see differently. Praise the Lord. We see differently. Glory to God. So the word of the Lord came. The word was now with us. Amen. With us now. Praise God. So we go back and read what happens in the word of the Lord. Do people see? Huh? They see. But someone said, well, that's prophets. 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 If you ask people, who is a prophet? You know, the truth about the matter is that many believers I know, I don't know many believers, but some believers I know, I think that's the right word. When they say prophet, the first thing on their mind is a white garment guy. And as you're coming in, the guy has a, I remember one prophet I was taking to when I was young, the guy has a, what do you call it again? Dreads. There's another word for it. Dada. And looking scuffy. His white wasn't white. And he said, I told myself, whatever he's going to say, I won't believe it. This God is too dirty for me. So sometimes that's what we think. It's one weirdo. So weirdo doesn't talk normally. They don't eat normal food. No salt in it. My dad believed that really. Because his own dad was a prophet. He believed that. No, he said, if you know my father. He was telling me one day about the man of God. He said, my father. And I knew my granddad used to raise the dead. I know that. You know. He said, he used to wear white all the time. I said, wow. He said, yes. He was trying to tell me how someone he made his mentor spiritually. The man used to wear white all the time. I said, you know what, I like that man. He just reminds me of my father. I said, hey, he used to wear white all the time. I said, oh. I said, women don't cook for him. I said, oh. I said, yes, so that he will be clean, holy. But women don't cook for him. That's very critical, you know. You know, I know that. And so sometimes that's the idea we have, the problem. But the word prophet, if they told you Abraham was a prophet, you probably didn't know that Jacob was a prophet. Joseph. Isaac. Who's a prophet? A spokesperson. Speaking what? He has the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Who has the word of the Lord here? He has the word of the Lord. That's what he has. So something happened in Numbers 11. Let's check it quickly. Numbers 11. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. These are great days, right? These are great times. You know, when I was younger, I used to hear Brother Higgins say something. Then I heard Pastor Chris say it too. And Brother Copeland, and I paid more attention to it at some point. I didn't really pay attention to it initially. I thought it was just cliche. Brother Higgins would say, "These are the best times to be alive." Brother Higgins would say that. "These are the best times, the best days to be alive." So I said, "That's nice." Then Brother Copeland would say the same thing. Then Pastor Chris would say, "And then, you know, in the meetings, you know, it's not like what they do, glory to God today through the Christ Ambassador Ministries. But he just said, these are the great days to be alive. We were going to take the whole world for Christ." And I said, "Now I think I'm getting this. Praise the Lord. I'm seeing clearly. Hallelujah." You know, it depends on who you are listening to. Praise the Lord. Some guys will get on the pulpit and say, "Nigeria is in trouble. Look at our roads," on the pulpit. "Is this a country?" Then I said, "Go and preach the gospel." How? Evangelize. "You already discouraged us." Brethren. "Look at it. Do you have life? You don't have life." Oh. Someone says, "These are the best days to be alive. For the Spirit of God is moving." Oh. Hallelujah. It's happening. Imagine hearing that every morning. There's a mighty flow of God's Spirit in the earth today. You don't think that on Sunday, then on Monday you're in your office, like a bee. The price has gone up, it has gone up. Oh my God, what kind of country is this? No! The Word of God is going! Don't say nonsense. You can talk about the price going up, right? And complain about the price going up. Don't complain, is a sin, I hope you know. You can criticize the price going up and say, "But we cannot have something about this." And then finish up by saying, "Yes, yes, the glory of the Lord is filling the land." Hallelujah. Oh yes, glory to God. So you don't say stupid things. You don't say stupid things. Someone told me one time, he said, "Let this country just go their separate ways. We can't stay together. We are." I said, "Wait in the WCC." He said, "Yes." "And we pray together." He said, "Yes, sir." See how you switch camp. I said, "Yeah, well, sir. I mean, can't we say our mind?" No, say the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What you should be talking about is the gospel going out in every language. Oh. Hallelujah. So it depends on who you are listening to. Who you are listening to. And murmurers mean they have nothing to contribute. They just complain. And murmuring is a sin. Some guys will so grumble about the church. Some people I used to know in the 90s, they will write long articles about the church. "The church is missing it. The church is always missing it. The church is missing it. The church is missing it. It's missing it. Oh, Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha." No, it's Hosanna. Or Hillsong. "Maranatha, Maranatha, Maranatha." I said, "You said this thing." You know, every generation always says the church has missed it. They say it. When I got born again, I was told the church missed it. Those who we missed it. We were the church. But next generation, again, we that missed it. Now told these ones, they have missed it. Now when they move forward again, those ones who said, you have missed it. Hallelujah. Someone said one time, he said, "We are praying for revival." I said, "Go where it's happening." Some guys are not praying for it, they are doing it. Glory to God. Pastor told me something. This, he called me. He said, I'm excited, sir. He called me on the phone. He said, "Last year you spoke to me." I called him on the phone. We spoke for a while. And I began to prophesy. I said, "Man of God." I said, "Face your work." And I said, "In that your city, take it. There's room in that city." I told him, I said, "Go ahead and start the church now." I spoke with him in the office in my lobby here. I go home, I spoke with him again. told me, called me this evening. He said, sir, do you know what's going on now? He said, I'm where we are buying extra chairs. The hall is filled. He said, it's filled. We're looking at, we said, we just got the land because we can't take the place. I said, don't stop there. Do second service on Sunday. He said, yes, sir. Second service. He said, because all of us now in service committee, we are doing second service. Third service. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you get my point? So you keep coming, we'll put you where we put bees after a while. Is that clear? So go ahead. He said, go get the chairs. Go get another place. He said, yes, sir. So go ahead. So the city is taken. I said, you read the news of the hoodlums who took your city. He said, yeah, that is harvest. That is harvest. He said, yes, sir. Go ahead and do it. So it depends on who you are listening to. If you listen to people, that's one young minister. He's reposting nonsense. I said, your life will remain the same. Remain the same. Because you are not doing anything but complaining. Jumping all over Facebook, complaining. That's what you are doing. But we know the Spirit of God is moving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, what is in Numbers 11? Are you in church? This was when Moses chose 70. Moses said, I can't bear this alone. I can't bear this alone. This is burdening much for me. And God said, bring 70 elders. Protocol. 70 elders represented 70 nations. Then, the world was in the 70 nations. Genesis 10. 70 nations. That's why you found them choosing 70 or 12. Jesus also chose 12 and 70. It meant the message was for the whole world. So he chose 70 elders. Genesis chapter 10, you find it. The table of nations, there were 70. He chose 70 elders. And you know God said, I put the Spirit that is upon you. And I put it with them. When you stand, they stand with you in the tabernacle. Which shows you that that's how God works. Takes from Paul to Timothy. Takes from Jesus to the 12. That's how he works. So he does it here. And what happens? All the 68, two guys. They were in the Living Word Media stand. Don't know what they were doing. But there were two guys in there speaking in tongues. And then Joshua, pastor's boy. You know, pastor's boy can be very poor sometimes. Say, no. They're not in LMA. He runs back to pastor. He says, those two guys are in the tabernacle. Mom said, what do you think you're doing? Verse 28. Don't stop them. Don't stop anyone from having the word of the Lord. Don't. Why? Moses says, why do you envy them? Is it for my sake? It can't be for my sake. Would God that all the Lord's people will have the word of the Lord. Would God wants all his people. God wants all your cell members, all your fellowship members, all your disciples, all your cousins, all your neighbors. God wants everybody to be his spokespersons. Glory to God. Oh God! Moses is not just talking loosely. Moses is showing us the mind of God. In the Exodus, in his deliverance plan, he says, Israel is my son, my firstborn. I call them to the wilderness, Exodus 4:22-23, to serve me. And years down the line. Watch this now. You have Joel, who was a prophet, and he had the word of the Lord to a disobedient nation. And everybody's living how they have. Everybody's doing what they wanted. Some are smoking weed. Some are into drugs. Some are into Yahoo. Some are into all sorts of stuff, prostitution. Some are into homosexuality, immorality. And then they were in bondage of sin. Or captivity of Babylon. And God said, I will rescue you. That's what he told them. I'll rescue you. Pay attention here. Afterwards. After I've taken you out, I'll pour out of my spirit
upon all flesh.
I pour my spirit upon all flesh.
Then it says, your sons and your daughters, they shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams.
Wow. That's what he said.
So what Moses was talking about,
Joel prophesied, it shall come to pass that the word of the Lord will be with everyone. So here we are.
Jesus, in his resurrection,
glory to God.
In his resurrection,
you know what I told them?
In John 14, he says in that day, of course, John 14, 16, I'll pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, or the word same comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of the truth with the word cannot see because he sees him not. He says, you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where he shall be in you. He shall be in you. Glory to God. They understood that he shall be in you. He'll dwell in you forever. He shall be in you. So they knew that was the new birth. But Luke 4:24-49, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be what? Endued. Thank you, Lord Jesus. With power from on high. I learned the Greek word endued from the mouth of Reverend Chris Okoti years back. Chapter 2 was so. Because you have etymology of words. You have the word in the grammatical context and you have the etymology. Why do they use enduo? Enduo was used. Now, the illustration he gave, which I found to be true, was that when a guy in the Greek culture, Greco-Roman culture, when a guy wants to, you know, make an advance to a lady, wants to give her an offer to marry, and then the lady is trying to ask him, you know, because in those days, they used to see people to marry as those who are strong, those who look like, you know, Greek pantheons and gods who were physically strong. Then the guy goes to a magician, and then the magician says, I'm going to give you something that when she sees you, she'll see somebody else. And so he gives him a duo. So he's cloaked with someone else's garment. So by the time he sees her, oh, I love you. Oh, she's like, oh. And then she gets married. She's jazzed. So the word enduo here is used by Jesus, even though it means to immerse. It means that you will be immersed into someone else's personality. You will carry someone else's personality. Christ will literally be seen through you. Hallelujah. He calls it power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Upon doesn't mean on your head. It means it will be seen through you. From the word epi in the Greek. So here we are, the indwelling spirit becomes the spirit upon. The next week, not this Sunday, I'll begin to teach on the Sunday services, the spirit upon. The spirit upon, the word of the Lord is with us now. What is the promise of the spirit upon? He says you will see visions. What is the promise of the spirit upon? You will prophesy. That is the promise of the spirit upon. And so we see this vital experience, firstly, with the 12. Remember the Mount of Transfiguration? In Matthew 17, Luke 9 and Mark 9, they are there with Jesus. You know the funny thing about it, guys, look at it. They went to pray, but they slept off. Now, you don't blame them because you thought they came for a prayer meeting in church. Some of you sleep in church. They went to a high mountain. And it was in the night. That means they walked all day. Jesus, let's go. Yes, they had done all the prayer meeting on the journey. And their prayer meeting was, God, don't let us die on this journey. And they go, Lord, this crazy Messiah, I hope he's you. Then after like hours of walking, he said, "Let us pray." Huh? I had a brother like that in our fellowship in secondary school. Well, we're getting tired and tired. He said, "We are still praying." One day, I just like this. Like, you are still what? Say, we are brethren, that's what, brethren, we are still praying. I'm like, oh God. It's supposed to be prayer. Where we have a sweet fellowship with God. This has become being something else. Bitter cola. So he took the name and said, oh. But you know what? They still saw. You know why? Because Jesus was there. They still saw. Why? The word of the Lord tabernacled with them. You know, the whole nation of Israel, hear me, in their unbelieving state, idol worshippers, the whole nation of Israel, in their unbelieving state, they heard God. The whole nation. As they went, oh, come on, we don't want to hear him again, we don't want to hear him again, we don't want to hear him again. They heard God. These guys were sleeping. In fact, I think when Matthew, and interestingly, you know, Matthew, I'm trying to see, I'm not really sure, so that's why I want to look at it. Matthew, okay. I think Matthew was reverential. Luke is the one who gave a very important detail. Verse 32. Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. Was it because he was not there? Heavy. No, when they say you are sleeping, you are heavy. You know what that means, right? They pour water. You are steadfast and immovable. They flog you more. There was a guy like that in secondary school. They beat him, he didn't wake up. After a while, one of my sons said, is this guy dead? But he was alive. He's just a very heavy sleeper. Because I'm a heavy sleeper. You know. So they asleep. But as soon as they woke up, glory to God. Why? Because the word was with them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But not the word that was with them still went to the cross. So it was a tabernacle. But the word with us is in the temple. Hallelujah. Are you there? Look at the book of Acts. 120 folks. We don't know. All of them except 12. They appeared unto them. Hallelujah. Cloven tongues, Acts 2:3, like as of fire. Glory to God. I'm telling you, the day is here. When a whole meeting, everyone will have a vision on their heads. The day is here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We had one meeting like that. World Changers Conference 1998. As I was preaching, my friends were there. And I began to minister on the pulpit. Pastor Law was there equally. And then the pulpit was encircled with a cloud. And all the ministers came under the power of God. Everyone saw it. Everyone saw it. Wow. You know, I believe that can happen in the meeting of 20,000, 100,000. Because it happened with the people of Israel who were in their millions. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Acts 2:3. Appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. Hallelujah. Cloven tongues like as a fire. Acts 9. Oh, before we get to Acts 9. Acts 7. Stephen was one of the assistant pastors called the deacons. He's preaching the word of the Lord. And in verse 55 of Ephesians, I saw the heaven opened and the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. Which means it's an encounter for all believers. Two chapters after Acts 9. Ananias. The Bible says there was a certain disciple named Ananias, whom the Lord appeared to And he said, Ananias said, yes, Lord. The response of Ananias shows someone schooled in the things of the Spirit. Acts 9:10. He said, I'm here, Lord. I'm here. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. He said, I'm here, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, I'm used to the things of the Spirit. See, I'm used to visions and revelations. Thank you, Lord. In this day where we have a vision of the supernatural harvest by the Spirit of God, you will see it before you see it. You will see it before you see it. Which means that God has given us tools to see things supernaturally, to know things supernaturally, and we yield our hearts to it. Amen. Don't go in your strength. Don't go in your power. Don't go in your logic and wisdom. You got the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You got the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what it means to be the shepherd of the sheep is also that you can give direction to the sheep. You can give direction to the sheep. And when they do it, they will correct the errors. They will have a straight path. Amen. You are not going to speak presumptuously anymore. You speak accurately because you see accurately. And whatever you say will fall to the ground because you had seen it before they see it or before they saw it. So you need to learn that is an equipment in the work of the ministry. To see it, he saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the Lord Jesus. He saw the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He saw the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. He saw the Lord Jesus. Well, Lord, I can say this at this point. Yes, I will. Years ago, my mom was not too cool with my calling the ministry. She didn't like it. So I just kept praying. Didn't fight her 1 minute. She didn't like it. She harassed me publicly. She harassed me privately. Then one night, no morning, she called me. She said, sit down. She apologized. I was wondering why. She said, you know, for the first time in my life, I've been a Christian. My dad is a bishop. I grew up as a Christian. But the Lord Jesus appeared to me. He told me about you. That's why I'm calling you. He said, from now, I will support you. And I will stand with you. That was 26 years ago. So, you know, the Lord Jesus will do that for the furtherance of the gospel. He'll do it for you. He'll do it for others. Amen. And he's doing it right now, in our nation, in our city, in our church, in our fellowships, in our ministries. Hallelujah. We are not without signs. We are not without encounters. Though we are not, glory to God. You know, we are not so touche. No, we are for the things of the Spirit. Glory to God. Are you there? So, the Lord Jesus appeared to Ananias. And spoke to him. About his son, about his vessel, about his work in the earth. Glory to God. Glory to God. One day like that, I was going from Ibadan to Jabode, and I was really troubled about a preacher of the gospel that I loved. And I was about to cross right there. Just like the Lord was reading my thoughts, that must have happened to you before. I was really thinking, but not loud, because it was in a taxi. 1997. I was really, really bothered. And I was wondering what's going on. Then I heard him like someone in the bus, or sorry, in the car. And he said, I will take care of it and he will not go astray. And I go, who said that? Because the guy next to me was sleeping because we were squeezing ourselves in front. Those behind, they were talking. I said, wow, what a way to doubt your thoughts. Hallelujah. What a way to get rid of what you were thinking. What a way to do it. So sometimes you can be so audible, it'll be like somebody else was in the room with you. So audible. Amen. You know, those things in the book of Acts are not just history. Amen. They're acts of the Spirit. Praise God. So you can hear it like that. Loud and clear. Glory to God. Glory to God. 2019. Lord spoke to me, he said, next year you're going to teach. I didn't know what was going to go on in the world. So you're going to teach about divine healing. And people should stay positive in negative world. So you're going to tell people. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't have an idea of anything. And he said,
between what I'll do and what the doctors will do, lives will be preserved. I told you, right? Before any pandemic. I told you. Between what I'll do and what I said the doctors will do, I had to call Brother Tokes because I felt, never heard that before. Doctors will do what I do. Never heard that. So I called him. He said, well, it's not the direction of the Lord. Just pray over it and do what he told you to do. So I do it. So I began teaching in school. No. I heard the voice of God. I heard it like I'm hearing. So I heard it so loud and clear. Praise God. This is 2021. I have a lot of people said that was what took them through a lot. Prepared their heart. I didn't know. I didn't have any idea of any pandemic. I didn't have a single idea. He just said, next year, beginning of the year, you teach on divine healing and how people should stay positive in a negative world. So, seriously? Okay, let's talk about healing. I know how to talk about healing, but doctors and healing, preserve your life. Well, he knows best. Teach it. I heard. So, pastor needs to hear that. Is that clear? Pastor needs to hear that. He needs to know. Praise God. He needs to know. 2006, we're praying. Lagos State University, we're in there that day. And we were praying on the streets. We're praying, having, I think it was a Saturday morning. We're praying, and the Lord said to us, I heard him loud and clear, and I told them, I said, 10 years from now, 10 years from now, I told them, 2006, 10 years from now, let me stop there. But what I said again was, I said, I'll give you the house of the young people. I'll give you the house of the young people. To direct them by my word and by my spirit. You are all there, right? You were there. You were there. Yeah, praise God. It was on the street we were praying that day. He said, I'll give you the hospital. And I heard it clear and I told him. Did it happen? Did it happen? Yes, is it happening? Yes, is it happening? Yes. You hear it. You hear it. You hear it. You hear it. Sometimes you see it. Sometimes you see it. It equips you in the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. And that's why when it comes to oversight, learn to listen to your pastors. Is that very clear? It's not every time to tell you, God told me. Is that clear? Sometimes they just give you an instruction. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. Praise God. Praise God. That's all it is. That's all it is. Amen. That's all. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll say it next time, Lord. So we have a whole lot to see and know. And I'm telling you, we're about to tune the volume. Is that clear? Such that there will be seeing and knowing in a stronger measure in your outreaches and evangelism. In Acts 16, all of Paul's associates, what happened to them? Acts 16. All of Paul's associates, Acts 16, they said, we're gone through Phrygia, verse 6, and we're forbidden of the Holy Ghost. They knew. In verse 7, we're stopped at the Holy Ghost. Acts 16. So you have people who are schooled. Who are schooled. You know how it was easy for them to say they? I told you on Sunday. Because they were in unity. Right? They were in unity. I told you before. And I'm saying it again. Preserve the unity of your congregations. Is that clear? Preserve the unity. Because there are many things God will want to say to you. He will give it to somebody he wants you to be in relationship with. We're in unity. We're in unity. Living in one media today wasn't something I heard directly from God. No, I didn't. But I knew it was God speaking because I had an inkling of it, so I was thinking about it, and somebody walks up to me right in front of the service and said it, and as I heard God. Now, the person was just talking, but I knew it was God talking. I heard God speak through the fellow, and I said, oh. He said, go ahead, put the thing on the website, make everybody able to download it every day. It's going to deliver nations, ministries, and we did. And we did. And God is still doing it. Is that clear? Still doing it. Well, no, we didn't do it because, okay, that's what's raining. No. Praise the Lord. In the USA, I came back to Nigeria, I had to ask them. They told me, they said there were folks like that, 18 of them on a table, none from Africa, none from Nigeria, none was black. And they were students of that site. I said, wow. In a state I'd never been to in America. Others said, no, you don't know the impact of this at all. If you guess, you not guess well. Because there was divine direction. Is that very clear? I have the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord. I yield to the word of the Lord. Amen. So you shouldn't struggle. Did you hear me? No, you shouldn't. If you are going to fight, fight in prayer. Fight with fasting. Glory to God. But you have the word of the Lord. Amen. See, I've got the word of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless God. Oh, bless God. Oh, bless God. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Let's see what people were doing at that point. You know, the people who have read so far, they were praying or preaching or worshiping. Though some while they were sleeping. Praying, preaching. Amen. Praying. Which means many times God will continue the conversation in prayer in a vision. That conversation will continue in the vision. Sometimes you finish praying, you want to sleep, and then you get to see what you were praying about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Paul says concerning visions and revelations of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12:1. Needless for us to glory. So, let's look at a few very vital things before we go to specifics next week. You know, Paul leaves us with an instruction about the things of the Spirit. And I just about a few minutes ago before I came up, I just looking through my notes as I often try to do. And sometimes when I go through my notes before, not because I haven't studied it, I just say, Lord, is there any emphasis you want me to have in this service? Because you should teach the word and flow with the Spirit. That's very clear. Then he said, write this down now. And so I wrote it down. So you see, I've dropped my notes. Now I'm looking at the instruction. Are you following what I'm saying? This is what I got here, not what I prepared for the service. Are you ready? Okay, so I had what I was going to teach, the word, then the Spirit. Now I began to think, and just Leviticus 6 and 12 and 13. You know, last week we said the gifts of the Spirit are sacrifices. Remember that? In the temple. Okay, Leviticus 6 and 12 and 13. Thank you, Lord. Next week as a church, we're going to have some times of fasting. We're going to do it regularly every month. There will be times of encounters. Times of encounters. Don't just have a hunger strike. Amen. Have vigils. Amen. Where you see and know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Leviticus 6 and 12. Are you in church? Are you in church? And the fire, he says, upon the altar shall be burning in it. What does he say? It shall not be put out. Look at verse 13. The fire shall be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Glory to God. I preached this sermon in 1997. The fire must never go out. What does it mean? Paul leads us to that instruction. Now before we get there, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, so within the temple, we have the fire. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And look at it. Open there. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord, told you see earlier, was precious in those days. The other word was scarce. Why was it scarce? A lackadaisical priest. Lackadaisical pastor. Christian. He's now busy with things, busy with business, politics, marriage, busy with things of this world. He's buried in looking for money. His mind has been programmed. You know, was now precious. Something that was normal was now precious, scarce. So you and I should watch it. Whenever it's now scarce, you don't hear from heaven. You don't hear from the Spirit. You don't minister by the Spirit. It is precious. Pay attention. There was no hope and vision. So people were just using logic. K
came to pass that when Eli laid down at the face, his eyes began to wax dim. He couldn't see. So, none of us will have this in life in Jesus' name. Couldn't see. He had been bogged around distractions of the world. He just discovered that you become edgy, touchy. And then you lose the favor. This is a man who was a man of the Spirit. He's a man who caused Samuel to be from the mother's womb. He's the man. He's that prophet of God. But you know, he left that area of his life. Didn't discipline his sons. Was cared less about, you know, certain things and discipline and order. He became loose. He wasn't immoral. He was just loose. Didn't care. Sometimes we're like that. Just, you know, not that we're not praying. It's in the temple. Not that we're not in church. We're in the services. We're in the meetings. But our heart is elsewhere. That, I always tell you, the way you grow is what? The way you grow is what? The way you grow is what? The way you grow. Nothing's going to change. Nothing is going to change. If you used to hear God's word, in humility, you heard everything. Oh, you are God. You hear everything. You want to do it. Now you start hearing them. That's cool. Something's wrong. So his eyes were dim. Look at verse 3. But there was a man there, Samuel, a young boy. He says, and the lamp of God went out in the temple. Or ere the lamp of God went there, where the ark of God was sitting down. Now the word ere there, in the Hebrew, is the word teran. It means not yet. Almost went out. And the Lord called and said to Samuel, hallelujah. Which means there was still somebody who was pursuing the things of God. I'm telling you, in every generation, every nation, there will still be somebody. Hallelujah. There will be one brother, one sister who will not give up. Praise God. No matter what was prevalent then in the land, sometimes some of us get subsumed in the things happening around us. Everybody's not lackadaisical about the things of God. Some people have the nerves to mock miracles on social media. They mock the things of the Spirit. They even joke at it. They post a video of performing the power of God and they laugh at it. A man was saying something and I just laughed, and the Christian sent it to me. I said, never shall I see this from you. The man said, well, those of you who fall under the anointing, next time you fall. And I said, why should you send this out? We don't have enough people falling yet. We want people falling at the bus stations. Praise God! Are you hearing what I'm saying? We want them falling under the power of God on the street and receiving Christ. We must not mock the move of God. Said, never send this to my phone again. I don't read such nonsense. I fell under the power of God and see how I am today. Glory to God. I pray sometimes I fall under the power of God and I say, woo! Glory to God! And someone mocks that. Whatever you mock, you can't attract. That's just what it is. Whatever you mock, you can't attract. Are you there? If you mock people's commitment to their church, you won't have any in yours. If you mock people giving, you won't have any in yours. That's just what it is. Spiritual things work with laws. And this man was there. So Paul therefore gives us an instruction. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Somebody in church? Desire earnestly the best gifts. Desire. It is a no. They knew. So the challenge there, and don't forget, he called them, pay attention, he called them babes in Christ. So one of the ways to grow is to what? Desire the things of the Spirit. Desire. Covet earnestly. In chapter 14:39, covet to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. Are you there? Covet to prophesy. He said they came behind and no gift, 1 Corinthians 1:7. But then, before he got to 1 Corinthians 12, he said there was division, right? People were arguing, fighting, creating sects,
Some were more particular about, some were becoming very secular. Oh, this brother is arguing with you. I'll deal with you. And they went to the police. They went to the courts. They became natural guys. Oh, they were among unbelievers. They doesn't care. Let me just eat whatever everybody's eating. Doesn't matter. They were losing their morals equally. They're giving themselves over to their bodies to harlots. 1 Corinthians 6. One guy had his father's wife, and he was loose. Some were fighting over food, over things. Some were saying, well, we are more successful than you are in the church. And all those things will dwindle the desire. We need to be very cautious about natural things. Always put natural things second place. Is that very clear? Or third place, or fourth place, if. Put it where they belong. You combine natural and the supernatural, but make sure the supernatural is ahead. Is that clear? Paul says, covet earnestly. Now check that word covet. That word covet is the word zelo. Zelo. Z-E-L-O-O. Zelo. Now that word zelo has both negative and positive things. It's used for jealousy. Jealousy means you want what someone, well, has. You want it. You desire for it to be yours. Acts 7 verse 9, the brothers of Joseph. Acts 17 verse 5, against Paul. Interestingly, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, Paul says, love does not covet things. Galatians 4:17, Paul says, there are souls, those who covet you. They are zealous about you. And 18. James 4:2, James says that it is the flesh, the devil, the works of the flesh that covets. So imagine the negative use of it. Means you want it badly. You want it badly. You see people very jealous. Extremely jealous. People can kill. People are jealous, they can keep. They want what somebody else wants. There's a guy like that, we asked him to give us Fanta. He didn't give us the Fanta. Well, maybe one day he's going to watch this video. I'm not sure he knows his story. And then we decided to go behind his locker in secondary school, took the Fanta, you know this big bottle of Fanta? And then we drank the Fanta and went to the tank and filled it up and put it back there. The other guy like that, we asked him for Milo and stuff. He didn't give us. We wanted it badly. We took the Milo. And then I did the major work in this one. I then directed soldier hands to his cupboard. I can do it. Oh, no, I could do it, sorry. So that's jealousy. You find people say, oh, he took my boyfriend. And they poison. It can be, it's motivating. He took my girlfriend. Then they take, you know, they do that in the cultists. They send boys, go and hit him. Hit him! It's possessive. So when he says, covet earnestly, it's not casual. Is that clear? It's not, Father, thank you. But the things of the spirit are working. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Shun die. The gift is charisma. Durea, Duma, Durema, Durea, Durema, Durema, Durema. No! Want it badly. Hallelujah. Are you there? Want it badly. In 1 Corinthians 4, three times he says it. He said, rather than covet people's cars, people's boyfriend, girlfriend, is that clear? Covet the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12:31, 1 Corinthians 14:1, and 1 Corinthians 14:39. And I checked that word. It's from another word, zeal. Z-E-O. That word zeal means to be fervent. It is taken from boiling water. Fire. Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. Not being slothful in business. Fervent. boiling. Have you seen boiling water before? Some of the bubbles. Acts 18:25. They said, Apollos was fervent. That means, when you see a fervent person, don't say, I'm fervent. I'm very fervent. No! He's on the road in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. He's fervent. Fervent. You see push, you see energy. And that is what Moses said, the fire must never leave what? The altar. If you are going to see the word of the Lord, or experience these encounters, minister by the things of the Spirit, the fire must never leave the altar. Power of the Holy Spirit is revealing things to us now. Showing us things. When last did you minister and you saw things? Before, during and after. When last did you pray and God made you see things before you saw it? When last? Say, well, does it have to happen all the time? Come on, go for it! Go for it! It's time to say, Lord, I'm praying for that brother. Show me why he's acting this way. I'm praying for that sister. Show me why she's acting that way. You know what? He's going to show you. He's going to show you. You will see it. As Peter was praying, he fell into a trance. And he had direction what to do in the house of Cornelius. God will prepare us for each other as we experience the things of the Spirit. He will see it. I will see it. I will be found in the same place. Cornelius saw it. Three men came. Peter saw it. And everyone saw it. I covet earnestly. I fast and pray. I have vigils. I stay up late at night. I listen to the word. I go up and down. I go up and down. I just walk up and down. I play the prophecy again. And I say, I receive it! And I jump out my room. I'm jumping out my room for my fellowship, for my church, for my... I am it now! Fervent. You can't be casual and walk in the glory of God. You have to be zealous. Boil. Men may mock you at some point. What's wrong with this one? But you know what? Later on, you will be the answer to their prayer. So don't give up. Hallelujah. Let's pray in other tongues. Come on. Pray in other tongues. I speak to all pastors and leaders. This is upon you. It's upon you and your church and your ministry. Amen. Pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues.